concerned. Right. Okay, so so we're doing the Perek of Chesed-Bati. It's a very challenging topic to discuss. The first topic is indicated in basically the first words of the Mishnah, right? Chesed-Bati. So the Mishnah tells us that Chesed-Bati is, generally speaking, 3 years. And then it gets into different cases of different kinds of fields and cites different opinions about whether or not it's exactly 3 whole years or maybe 3 seasons or maybe three agricultural seasons. So we'll get to the details afterwards. But the basic principle that's the topic for our discussion is just the fact that it takes some time. Right? It takes some time to establish a chazaka. Now, the chazaka here, as I've mentioned, the Ritva clarifies right at the outset of the parak, when it comes to karka and chazaka, so there are two types of chazaka, and I mentioned to you the Rishonim refer to them as cheses kinyan and cheses raya, so that's what the terms Ritva uses here. So he just lets you know at the outset that what we're discussing in this parak, by and large, is cheses raya, right? It's what you need to win, what the person who's living on the land needs to win in order, in a din Torah. That's what they call a chesed raya. It's a raya that you are the owner, and therefore you would win in a din Torah, as opposed to kinyan chazaka, or chesed kinyan, which is what a person needs to do in order to acquire land which is either being sold to him, or being transferred to him, or is just hefker. Now, what he happens to say, just as an aside, and I think I noted this in the text, what he happens to say is, one of the differences between them, besides the fact that they're different concepts legally, but just one of the things with respect to which they diverge is what works for each of them, that we'll see. What he represents there is the opinion of the majority of Rishonim, but not necessarily everybody, including the Rambam, about what's necessary in particular for Kinyan Chazaka. What he says here is you need to do Tikkun Gufa Karka, Achilas Peres wouldn't work. We'll see. It actually comes up in a few topics. But in any event, he does a nice job of just sort of letting you know what the parak is dealing with. And he also explains that what we're talking about here, the need for a cheses gimel shanim, is specifically in the case where you have a mar kama, right? Somebody who is the last known, proven owner. He's claiming, he's ma'arer, al asada, that's basically the central toimintan drama of cheskas karkos, is you have a mar kama who is ma'arer al asada. He says, this sada is mine. In the typical case of Marakama, he has Edei Avos, or he has Edei, or he has a star, or he has some proof that this at one point was his, and he's claiming that still is true. And the person who's on the Sada says, no, it isn't something. The classic case in which you need a Chesed Gimel Shanim, in which a Chesed Gimel Shanim is designed to work, is where you say, Lekuach Ubiyadi, I bought it from you. Right? That's a case where you need a Chesed Gimel Shanim, and where a Chesed Gimel Shanim will be effective for you. And we'll see other claims, that's going to be a central part of the parak, is what precise claims work if you have Chesed Gimel Shanim. But for now, at least, the classic case is Lekuach Ubiyadi, I bought it from you. He mentions that the Mishnah already in Ksuvos indicates that if Marakama does not have Edei Avos, he's only claiming, we only have reason to think that by virtue of his own claim. So then even if, as I mentioned yesterday, even if the current Machzik, or the Toface, we'll call those interchangeably for now at least, the Machzik or Tovis says, I acknowledge that, but I bought it from you. So in that case, it would be Neman because of a Pesha Aser, so that everybody agrees to. But that's clear. But the case where he has Edei Avos, that's where you need a Chesed Gimel Shanim. Now, this is opposed to the Din B'Metaltalin, right? This halacha, I sent you guys to the Rambam codifies it nicely. The Rambam already even calls this Cheskas Karka b'chesed ba'alea omedes. It is a phrase that appears in Gemara. Whether or not it's exactly this isn't so clear to me, but it is adopted by the Rishonim. What that means, karka b'chesed ba'alea omedes, is that in the situation where you have a current machzik versus a marakama, or by the Rishonim, so the by the Rishonim b'cheskas omedes, meaning he's presumed to be the owner unless we have proof otherwise, unless you can bring us something to show us that you are the owner. All right, and then again, we'll figure out where cheskas gimel shanim comes into this, but for now, if he doesn't do that by default, stamkach, if the absence of other factors, the karka belongs in the possession, is presumed to belong to the marakama. But that is as opposed to the din de metaltlin, right? And here the Torah is the one who really just points it out explicitly, right? This is something unique to karka, right? This Mishnah presumes something about karkos, which is not true of metaltlin, and that is that you wouldn't win just by having it, just by being on there. In metaltlin, the person has something in his hands. So the halacha is that even if the Bailam HaRishonim come and say, I was once the owner of this and I can prove, I can bring Edim, but if the guy says, okay, and you sold it to me, so then the Toveya, the Marakama, has to bring a right. The Tovei's Metatlin wins, right? Ava Bisha Adam Neman Liton Al Metatlin Shabiyad Lukuchin Embiadi, Karka Bechetzes Baale Omedes. That's a Chiddush, this is a Chiddush of Karka. In other words, the need for Chetzes Gimel Shanim, which is what we're going to be looking into right now, that is a Chiddush regard to Karka. The parallel cases in metatlin, the person who has the metatlin biyado at the moment, currently, he wins. The markama is the one who has to prove, not just that he was the owner, but that somehow he still is the owner. Right? Why is that? Where does that come from? Why is it that the markama loses and the mafzik wins? So that's the basic klal that the Gemara refers to in Bava Kama Membav. I don't recall if I gave you that. But klal gadol b'din, that it's a very basic, essential principle, a fundamental principle of Dini Maminos, which is a Mosmecheveil of a riot, right? You often can't prove to beyond a shadow of a doubt in a publicly available way that everybody can see. So what do you do in the case of Safik? So Mosmecheveil of a riot. The person who needs to bring a proof in order to win is the one who's being Motzi, the one who's the Toveya, the one who's demanding that Bezin essentially extract something from someone who is possessing it now. Right, basically to alter the status quo and to remove somebody from something from somebody's possession, the person who wants that needs to bring a raya. By default, we're just going to let it be. The person who's currently muchzak keeps it. Where do we get this principle? What's the basis for it? So here you have three potential makoros that are found in Chazal. All right, we have one which is mentioned in the Sifrei. It's based on the pasuk Ushvatim Tzedek. Right, the pasuk says. With regard to judges, that they should judge righteously. So the Sifrei says that what this means is, in Dini Maminos, Sadik Betzitko Toveya may be Raya. The person who is Sodek, the Toveya, he's the one who has to bring a Raya. So what that means is, they give an example. If a person is Otef Betaliso, right, I come and I see your talis and I say, that's mine, right, Shalihu. Or I come and you're using your para, Shalihu, right? Notably, the Sifrei says with regard to Sade also. And that's an interesting point. But it's hard to know what exactly this, if the Sifrei is really coming to register a different opinion about this. But at the very least, regarding Metatlin, this is certainly true, right? That if a person comes and says, that talis is mine, that para is mine, so we don't say, all right, let's hold it in abeyance or, you've got to prove it to us that it's yours. We say to the person who's claiming this, prove that it's not his. Right? Prove that it is belongs to you, the Toveya, and then we'll act on it, but until then not. That's part of Ushvatitem Tzedek. That's the Sifrei. That's not the opinion, that's not the makor that's brought in Shas, or in Yerushalmi. Instead you find two other possibilities, right? The second one, so that's one option. The second is the opinion of the Yerushalmi, and it's also one day I brought in the Gemara Bava Kama, which I gave you guys, right? Which is that the pasuk says, Moshe says, I'm going to ascend Har Sinai, Har Elokim. In the meantime, if you guys have an issue, you guys have a, basically the Chazal interpret this, if you guys have a riv, Bina Nashim, about, Dina Mamonos, so go to Aaron and Khur. Vini Aaron Vachur, Imachem, they'll be the basin. Mi Val Dvarim, Yigash Alehem. So whoever is the Baal Dvar, should approach them. Chazal interpret this at that stage. In the Gemara, this is mentioned in the Shalmi, it's one possibility in the Bavli, is that what this refers to is the fact that the person who seeks to correct what is incorrect right now, meaning the person who is claiming something that is, this person has something that belongs to him, so he should be Nigash to Aaron Nahor, so he has to bring the evidence to Aaron Nahor, and they'll vindicate him. But the point is that the initiative is on the person who is the Baal Dvarim in the sense that he has a tiny. He literally has a taina, and what that means is he claims something that he owes him something. So it's up to him to go to Aaron and Hur and to have them do it, and to have them vindicate his claim. So that puts the onus on the Toveya. The Gemara mentions an alternative possibility that pasuk doesn't mean that. It means rather the din of Ein Niskakin Elo Tzavei Tchilo, which happens to be a big machlokes Rishonim, exactly in Gaonim, what exactly that means, what they refer to. I'll give you the one I think is the most interesting of all, which is that the Rav Haigon's interpretation of that halacha, which is that if the nitva wants to have a din Torah about it, you know, he initiates it because he's got a cloud over his head. He's afraid this guy's going to claim something. He says, you know, let's get this adjudicated now. And then he goes to Beis Din. This actually requires a girsa to be in Yitzchak and Elo Tovei. The halacha is, says Rav Haigon, that we don't adjudicate the case unless the Tovei brings it. In other words, the person who's seeking redress has to bring that. If the status quo needs to be changed, it has to be the person who would benefit who brings that case. It can't be anybody else. Which is a general point, which is interesting, but we'll just leave that for now. Either way, that's not the makor, that's not the basis of the halacha. What's the basis? Rav Ashi says in Bava Kama, right, that basically the person, it's a very loose mashal, but the person who's got the illness, so he's the one who's going to go to the doctor. Basically, you have a problem, so you have to do the work to root that problem out. What's your problem? You're saying something is that shouldn't be, right? He's got this talus and it's really mine. So who has to do the work here? Who's got to bring Raya to base it? The person who thinks that there's a problem. That's essentially the mashal. So it's a svara. It's just obvious that misvara, if you're the one who wants to change the status quo, so you've got to show us that it needs to be changed. I don't need to show you, the person who thinks the status quo is just fine doesn't need to show you that that's true. It's the person who wants to change the status quo, thinks that there's an illness here, he's the one who's got to do the work. In any event, whatever the makor is, and there is much to discuss here, and over the course of the year, probably will discuss much. But for now, the basic point is that Hamotzi Mechaveira Lavarai dictates, generally speaking, it's the Toveya who's seeking to extract something from someone, who's seeking to alter the status quo. He has to supply the proof. And therefore, with respect to both Damim and Metaltlin, we say the Toveya needs to bring the Raya. With regard to Damim, so I gave you guys the, you know, just examples of this. This klal is something which abounds in Mishnayos even, and I gave you one representative one. Somebody sees a shore running out another shore. You find out that the shore 2 is damaged. So the owner of shore 2 says, your shore is responsible for this. He's the one who damaged him. And the other guy says, nope, he slipped on a rock. So Mazar Filip, right. Right? In that case, he's patur. So in other words, in this case, this is a case where I'm demanding damim. Right? I say, you owe me money. And the guy says, no, I don't. What we say is, Toveya, who's claiming the money from him, if you want us to take money from this person, you need to prove it. You need to prove that he owes you. Right? That's a case of damim, where you're being Toveya money. Or where you're Toveya property. Person who says to somebody else, talazo, that's mine, you need to prove it. It happens to be, I'm not getting into now, but it happens to be that in some of the cases mentioned in the Mishnah, some of the applications of this principle, we find that there may be a Tanos Cholik, Sumchus. Sumchus, he thinks in some of these cases that we would paskin Yachloku. But here are just two points to make. One is that even Sumchus, one is that we paskin like Chacham. That's clear, according to most. Paskin like Chacham. Number two, even Sumchus has a very limited disagreement. He's only disagreeing with regard to some of the applications of it. He doesn't disagree with the basic principle. So as an example, Tosos there on Laman Hayim Beis, I didn't give it to you guys, but the Tosos there say that Sumchus, who thinks in some of these cases, Yachloku, but even he agrees, he says, Aber makum shasavik ba api devrayim, lo palik Sumchus. Dare laman damar amar Sumchus, afilu bari bari, and not our topic for now. Atu im amar adam l'chaver, talis zu shatalavush shalihu, mi amar Sumchus chokim? Does anybody think about that? Think that that case would be chokim? No. Everybody agrees to the basic principle, and that principle dictates that, for instance, if I claim that somebody else, that this person is wearing a talus that belongs to me, I don't win. I have to bring a proof that that's the case. And this is even if I have a de avos, even if I can prove that it once belonged to me. If he claims, yeah, that's true, but you sold it to me, so I have to prove that. So obviously the question then becomes, why does the Mishnah say, Kesavatim is Shaloshan? Why do you need, not why is Shaloshanim good, but why is it necessary? Why isn't it the case that whoever's on the Sadeh wins and the Marakama has to prove that he didn't sell it to him? Just like it would be Bimetatlan. Why is this any different? Why is Tfisa La'altar, right, which is the term the Rishonim used for it, why is the current possession of the Sadeh not something which enables the Masik to win? Right? What we've shown basically is that is an anomaly with regard to karka. Right? With regard to metatlin, with regard to mammon, we don't say this. If you're in possession of something now, so the other guy who wants it has to prove it, and just proving that he once was the owner is not considered a proof. So long again, as you say, you know, lakuachu biyadi, you know, there's a claim that you're claiming does not contradict those eidim that say it was once his. You're saying, I know that. It's just that now you sold it to me. So why is that the case? Interesting, the Ritva thinks that that's actually part of the Gemara's question, right? Because I showed it to you. The Gemara cites Rabbi Yochanan as basically asking the question, Shamadim Yochli Ushai Omer, Minayin Lechazaka Gimel Shana. Now, but Pashas, that question is really the second question, not why is it necessary to have Gimel Shana, but why does Gimel Shana work? Where does Gimel Shana come from? In other words, first we're dealing with the question of why do we need anything but just being currently in possession. Once we answer that, then we have a next question, which is, okay, then given that just being currently in possession doesn't work, where does Gimel Shana, where does that come from? How come that works? But Pashas, that's the question the Gemara is asking, is Minayin, it's skipping the first question. The Gemara is going right to Minayin the Gimel Shana, right? So whatever, for whatever reason it doesn't work, that Tfisa La'altar, that's what we're going to discuss, but where does Gimel Shana come from? Where does that work? How do we know that that works, and why should it work? The Ritva, though, views this first question as really being part of the Gemara's question, too. In essence, a manavshah. In other words, says the Ritva, right? Either Tfisa La'altar, like, works with Metalton, should work with Karkaos, and if it doesn't, so then why does Gimel Shana work? But he has that as part of the question of the Gemara, right? The Ritva says, Minan L'chazaka Shalashanim, this is the Ritva Altar, so Atkan, fine. That's the question that it sounds like, right? Why should it be that Gimel Shana works? But then he says, "Im tvisasan raya kim etatlan shelo yola bayim shoskin tevi chaskasan la'alter." Im ain't tvisasan raya nishu davar shadim yachal kanas tachem, etc. So it's a manavsha. Why do we need anything but just regular tvisa la'alter? So you know, he interprets the question of the Gemara to kind of indicate that it's interested in this question too. Either way, whether or not this is the question of Minayin L'Chazak or Gimel Shana, we can discuss and outline different possibilities. And here I would just outline four possibilities.
You always complain at every video second.
Oh no, oh no. But then I think I'd rather have my complaint. I'm kidding. Go ahead. Question, right. So I think we can outline four possibilities here in terms of why is it that the Din B'Karkos isn't like what we find in Metatlin, that whoever's possessing it now wins until you prove otherwise. The first will be the idea that, legally speaking, there is no fundamental difference, but there's a technical problem. Numbers 2 and 3 will be that perhaps Tfisa La'altar is weaker with respect to Karkos for one reason or another, which we'll see, so that it doesn't provide grounds for Muxakos. And then we'll have our own suggestion, which is a fourth possibility, which is not so much that the Tfisa La'altar B'Karkos is worse. It's not worse. Maybe it's the same. It gives you the same thing, but what you need in order to set aside a Marakama is greater. We'll get to that. We'll get to each in turn. So first, one possibility is to say, really, there's no legal mystery here at all. There's a technical problem, there's a technical difference due to just a basic custom or basic norm of Karkos, which is that the Metzius is, when it comes to transactions with regard to Karkos, so Shtaros are inevitably written. We, generally speaking, have Shtar. Whether or not that's the method of Kinyan, just as a general point, when you're transacting, this is just a general point regarding all Kinyan. When you're transacting, so there are things that go along with a Mechira that don't necessarily have to affect the Kinyan. So for instance, you can Mikona B'Mechira Aydem Shicha. What would then happen is you then become, there's a chiyuv. So I pay the money, that's not a way of transacting. With regard to shtar, you'll have a shtar inevitably. Whether or not the shtar is what you use to affect the kinyan, that's a separate question. Right, because we know, Mishnah Kiddushin, right, that karka is nicknamed the kesef shtar v'chazaka. But even if you're being kone karka b'chazaka or b'kesef, there's almost inevitably going to be a shtar written up as a raya. Even if you're not using that as a method of transferring. So there's always a shtar, basically, when it comes to Karkos, transacting Karkos. That's just the Metzius. We'll see whether or not it's more, but for now I'll just say it's the Metzius. And therefore, given that, inevitably, a person who purchases land will have a shtar. Because that's what happens when you purchase land, is that shtaros are written, and they're given to the bailin, the new bailin, to keep. And inasmuch as that's the case, so now, if you don't have a shtar, that's suspect. That's something which undermines your claim. Right? It's what's called a reyasa. The Rishonim use the term of reyasa, zroa, tanaso. When you don't have the shtar that you're supposed to, so that's something which undermines your claim. Right? It's just an evidential factor that completely torpedoes a person's claim. It doesn't exist with regard to metaltolin because people don't write shtaros with metaltolin. It does, though, with regard to karkos because you should have a shtar if you really were the owner of the karko. So it's true that you have tfisa, the same tfisa that you would have in metaltolin, but the fact it's undermined completely by the fact that you don't have a shtar. That's pretty telling. That's something which detracts from the credibility of your claim that you don't have a shtar and you're claiming that you purchased it. This could be very easily what the Rashbam, I'm not saying necessarily the Rashbam, if you, you know, really made him boil down why he thinks Karkos are different, that this is what he said, but the line that he has in Mem Beis Med Aleph is certainly giving to this understanding that really this is the central difference when it comes to, this is Rashbam and Bavas from Mem Beis Med Aleph, just taking the middle, he says, the Gorta Karkos, that you need a star, about Metantali Mishu Muksak Beshel Chavero, right, even though you're against the Marakama, right, in Metantolin, even if the Marakama comes and says, I have Aiden that, I, you know, 3 days ago I was the owner, they saw me purchase it, let's say. But if the Nitva is currently possessing it, Neman Zeh Mufzak Lo Mar Lakuach B'Yadi. Why? The Stam Lokeach Metantolin Mechavira Below Aiden Hukona Below Shtar. That's the reason. So that statement seems to be locating the entire difference between Karkos and Metaltolin. Just the fact that the Metzia is that there aren't shtaros written with regard to Metaltolin, whereas they are with regard to Karkos. And therefore, if you don't have a shtar, that becomes something which undermines your claim in Karkos. Yeah?
Would that be, like, let's say a community has some to affect some other kind of kingdom in order to prove it, and you don't have that?
Again, we're talking about not necessarily using it as a kingdom. For the purpose of kinyan.
In terms of proof of kinyan, if there was,
you mean
some
there's a makam that low kosher is a shtar.
Right.
Yeah. So the truth is there is relatively late achronim who discussed that question. Interestingly enough, it didn't really come up as far as we can see earlier. It's a good question, and the truth is, as we'll see, whether or not you take it, this is the reason the shtar issue comes up. We'll see it soon. The raise of a shtar comes up, and. The assumption is that it doesn't make a difference because nobody discusses it making a difference. And maybe the answer is you just can't do that. You need to write a shtar. The truth is that the Navi already says, v'chasov v'sefer v'chasom, as we'll see, the Gemara thinks maybe this is an indication of chasik moshanim. Because the Navi, right, this is how the Gemara, this is on Gemara on chasom beiz, right, sados v'kesef yiknu, v'chasov v'sefer v'chasom. And the assumption is, the Gemara thought, maybe this is the makor, maybe this is how we know that it works, that chesed gimoshanim works to, this is Yirmiyahu who's saying this, to replace, you know, in lieu of a shtar, because basically, if you figure out the cheshvan, so they only had 2 years left till the korban. So what Yirmiyahu was saying was, you're not going to have a chazik moshanim, and therefore you need to be chasov v'sefer v'chasom. You should get a shtar because you don't have enough time to make that cheshvan. Then the Gemara says, well, maybe that's not a din that you need to because you'll lose. Maybe it's just an etz tovuk mashmalan. Or even if you do have a chazik moshanim, or even if let's say chazaka was bebei shanim, or even if actually the Rimigash was there, even if the chazaka was la'alter bekarka, even if that were true, you would still say, okay, but I'm just letting you know, you guys are soon going to be evicted, and then you're going to want to be able to prove. You may not have the Eidei Chazaka, you know, around. So you just write Eitz HaTovuk Mashulan. Whether or not in the end Eitz HaTovuk Mashulan, or it's clear that there's somewhat of a normative demand to write a shtar, that itself could prevent the question from arising. In other words, we just don't, there can't be a Makom Shelo Kosem Shtar. You need to write shtaros. Everybody writes shtaros, and therefore you need to write shtaros. We'll get to, it's a good question, and we'll get to it more. Yeah.
Nothing but metaltolin uses a shtar. Like I can imagine like people lending or renting out stuff.
It doesn't need, you don't, it's not the,
like,
it's, yeah, it's not the norm. I mean, the lashon of the Rashbam here is, right, that it's not that you can't, it's that
that's not expected.
It's right. There is one mitaltel, but its status as mitaltel is very much in doubt, or very much a discussion, where you do have sharos, and that's avad. But that's intermission, right? That's one of the intermission. One second. Right, so the Rosh Bram says, his lashon was, distam lokech mitaltel mechaber v'lo eidim ukan, v'lo shara. So it's just not the normal procedure. And therefore, you'll say I don't have a shard, and that's totally, that doesn't change anything. That's fine. Whereas it's not so in Karkos. So that's one possible answer. The second and third answer both relate to the idea that maybe there's something lesser about Tfisas Karka than Tfisas Metatla. The second answer would be to suggest that perhaps there's just a sort of a physical, technical issue here. The physical act that is necessary to provide for Mechzakos doesn't exist with regard to Karkos. Here what we would say is that what provides the necessary Mechzakos, the respective property, is the act or the state of physical possession, of physical holding, grasping. And with regard to Karka, you don't have that. You don't grasp Karka. You can't possess Karka physically. If anything, it possesses you. Right, actually, the language of the Pasuk speaks to this, right? What does the Pasuk say about Bnei Yisrael when they came to Mitzrayim? Beheach Subba, right? They are Neachas Bekarka. You can't be Oches Karka. Karka, you're inside the Karka, not the opposite. And the idea would be that Mukhzakus, the concept of something which is Biyado, remaining Biyado, is literally, it has to be Biyado, in your physical domain, whether or not it's literally your Yado or Yado Rishusa. But the point is, there's physical possession provides for Mukhzakus, and in Karka, there is just, the act is not really an act of physical possession. That's not to say necessarily that it's nothing, it's not enough, such that it would be a Mukhzakus that could provide for Mukhzakus against at least a Marakam. Let's put it out. I think that's another possibility, right? To be Mukhzak essentially requires you to have it or possess it physically, and you just don't do that. You don't find that with regard to Karka. The third possibility, and this is the one we'll see in there. Yeah.
The baseline for, I guess, ownership of something would be more Karka, and this is like an additional...
What do you mean?
Meaning, why would having this possession of something, so it makes it seem...
We're talking about providing for Mukhzakas,
right?
You're the person from whom we're being motzi.
Right,
Mukhzakus is a term, you know, Mitzvah Kol Raya, that Chaveiro is the Mukhzak. Right.
So they're just having something...
So what we say is what Tfisa La'altar, in other words, what does it mean that somebody's currently a Mukhzak? What provides for him being Mukhzak? It's the fact that he's physically possessing it.
Possession,
he's,
like you're more connected to it?
He's sholeit over it. He's physically sholeit over it. He's physically grasping it. It, you know, being near it is not good enough. What if I'm stepping on it? That's also not good enough. So Karka, you're stepping on it. You're not... I'm not saying this is obvious, right? Because you could say, but isn't possession just an example of a certain kind of act? We'll get to in a second. And with regard to Karka, that act will just manifest differently. But I think there's a room to say that, you know, when we see something, you know, what does the Rosh Bam say? The davar ha'yotzim tachas yado, something which is within your possession, within your grasp. So maybe that doesn't exist regarding karka, because you'll say you're just on the karka, but you're not possessing it. You're not, you know, it's not within your control. There's a svara to these to be argued here, but I want to hold off for now. The basic point is that what's necessary to provide for Mozakus in terms of being topes. Right. In the language of the Rishonim, you know, being topes is the operative act which provides Mukhzakus. It's literally physically holding on to something, and you don't have that here. It's heyotzuba, not okhezba. So we don't say that you're the maksik. You're not really maksik the karka. Right? Yeah. You're just the one who's on the karka right now, but you're not maksik.
putting a fence around something and being able to laugh about that wouldn't be like an equivalent of it. I mean, what was putting in your pocket or holding your hand, like, I can grab something off the table and hold my hand, or maybe more.
No, what is the Beis Din know about that case?
Because they have no proof. Right now, we're just
There's a separate, there's a whole separate way to custom on top, and we'll do this, but if you have agent that come and say, we saw this person take something, so that quite possibly does not provide for Mosadis. That's something that, right? Agent Shiro, Natila, the no-tell in that case may not be Mosadis, but we'll get to why that would be and what that means, but let's say you take this, right? But Beis Din doesn't know that. What happens in Beis Din is, we have agent come and say, they saw me bring in the soda, and they even saw me buy it, let's say, and now, you know, you have it. Now, I say, you just took it from me, and you say, I sold it to you. You would never do the same. From Beis Din's perspective, so you're the one who's possessing it, you want us to take it out of his hands. But what I'm claiming now is, it's legally and also literally, to provide for the legal notion of it being an extraction. When we remove it from him, it has to be that he's possessing it now, physically. I was using more the language of it's not physically being grasped by you. It's just you're not the muchsak, Bo, because you're just on top of it, right? If you're like on top of a soda, that doesn't give you muchsak. That's metaltlin. It's not a double question at all. You would say right, but that's because you know being on top of metaltlin isn't the kind of act that would provide for muchsak. But being on top of karka, depending on what I'm doing with it, would. Yeah, this is not an obvious answer. I'm just saying, it's not my favorite one, it's probably my least favorite one. Also the one where, I'm not sure I find, actually the fourth one, but I don't really see directly being mentioned or shown either, but anyway, it's just, I think it is a possibility to throw out there. What you find in the Ritva is something slightly different, this is the third possibility. Also that Tfisa of Karkos is lesser than Tfisa of Metaltlin, but not just based on the technical fact. Ritva says something else, right? Everybody see this? The Ritva, not only in the context of trying to explain the Gemara's question as involving or presuming this question too, right? Why isn't it just Tfisa L'Alter? Why are we talking about what you need for creating a muchzak, the karka? Just if you're on the karka, you're the muchzak, right? Like we have in Metaltlin. So in that context, he gives us some analysis too, and it's really good, important analysis. And he says, right, that Klomar, right, this question of minayin lechazak shei shloshanim, mehecha nafka lechazak shei shloshanim lo pachos lo yaser, in tfisas on raya ki metaltolin shelo hayo balim shoskim tehavei cheskas on la'altar. So if the tfisa is a raya, that's a crucial term which we'll see, like it is in metaltolin, so then it should be a chazak on la'altar. Right, like you have metaltlin. The im ain't tfisas on raya, but nay. And now here's where he gives you the answer, right? So why would you say there's something different about tfisas karkos, which obviously there is, because it doesn't work. Just regular current possession of the karka doesn't make you a moksak, apparently. Why is that? If nay, shudavar sha'adam yachal likanes l'tocho. And then he has the question, let me yishat l'tocho. But why is it different? Because anybody can walk on anybody's karka. Being in control of karka at the moment is not something, right, which is a raya, right, which is evidence, so to speak, of a person's being the owner. Basically, what the Ritva sounds like he's saying, right, his formulation here is quite noteworthy. What he's saying is not so much that there's a technical, physical chisaron here, right, that you're just not grasping it. That's not the core issue. The issue is a substantive matter. This is not a tfisa which provides raya. A raya, presumably, to his being a bat.
He's also seen as trespassing?
No, that's the point, is that when it comes to karkos, so the things, presumably what this means is, the things being in your possession is a raya that you are the bat, a piece of metaltlin. But anybody could just walk on the karka. I can't control karka. No, it's not mean. It doesn't mean it's okay, but it means that the fact that you're on the karka right now is not the equivalent of possessing something the metaltolin, not just as a matter of the physical act is different, but that it doesn't speak to your being a bialim, because anybody can walk on the karka. Karka can't be controlled in that way, you know, where we can say, oh, if you're on the karka, so you're the bialim, right? That's an act of your being, you're acting like the bialim. If I own tons of land, so the fact that somebody else is on that land, it's very possible to be me be the owner and somebody else be on the land. Whereas in the case, it sounds like what you're saying, whereas in the case of metaltolin, generally speaking, that's not what you have. Whoever's holding them, whoever has the metaltolin is the owner. But being the owner of karka is not linked to no one else being on the karka.
Having a metaltolin also, you're saying it's more common, that like land is more common to have people I know aren't the owner, whereas stuff, even though all the time I hold other people's stuff, it's less common to be holding other people's stuff?
So he doesn't say more. And that's something that we have to kind of figure out. I think what this, so what we want to, let's say on a very basic level, you would say that, right, that the basic concept with regard to metaltolin is a person who's holding it is presumed to be the owner, because it's likely that he is the owner. It doesn't mean that we know he is. It's not a raya, it's not a hukhacha, muhachas. Right, but it's a presumptive kind of piece of evidence that, well, that's likely that he's the owner until we know otherwise, because who owns a thing if not the person who's got it? Not just doesn't mean somebody else has got it, you know. It doesn't mean that the person who's got it has to be the owner. It means that's a very likely thing to find an owner doing with his thing, right? If you have this piece, this car, if you have and you claim to be the owner of this thing and it's in your possession, well, you know, that's the kind of thing that we would expect of a bialim. He's holding on to it. You could also say it's a demerit to the person who doesn't have possession, right? If it's his, why doesn't he have it? But again, it's not a resolution of the person's claim. He's claiming he stole it from me. But we don't know that. That's precisely what we can't assume, because we don't know. So in the meantime, what we're going to assume, what we're going to say there's a certain likelihood of, is the fact that you're holding on to it means that you're the owner. Right? All things being equal, you could say, so I'm not going to say this, so I'm going to have my issue with it in a second, but all things being equal, right, the person who's in possession of it is more likely to be the owner than the person who isn't. Bimitalkalim. Whereas when it comes to karkos, that anybody who's going to make a claim on karka could just come in the middle of the night or in the broad daylight. It's not the kind of thing you can really determine as being, oh, look, he's acting like the owner. Anybody can go on karka. It's not the kind of thing that can be controlled like that. That's the basic idea. So the basic idea seems to be that tfisa that provides musakus does so because it is a riot. It is some kind of evidence, you might say, to his being the bialim, right? That's an act of being the bialim. So if I have this dispute, the person who's acting like the bialim and the person who isn't, we're going to say, okay, you've got to prove the person who's acting like the bialim really isn't the bialim, right? Whereas in the case of karka, this is not an act of a bialim. That's what I would say. But let's just consider this. First of all, I mentioned that there's precedent for this notion, speaking of tfisa as providing a raya in Metaltolin 2. I don't know that anybody has challenged this. I only give you the Rambam, but right, the din in our parak is of Godros, right? Godros are animals that get around on their own. So Godros inan kazak, right? If you have a cat, the fact, if I say this cat is mine and it happens to be in your yard, that's not going to be considered. Normally speaking, that won't be considered a kazak. Why not? First of all, just to show you, that's the Mishnah. The Gemara says that in Reish Lakish's name, right? That Godros inan kazak. And then it even tells us that there is an exception if something which is generally speaking pretty docile doesn't move, then you do have a chazaka. The Rambam explains quite simply, right? What's the reason in the case of Godros that there's no chazaka? Do I have it here? I gave it to you guys, right? Yeah. So what's his language? He says, right? Does anybody have the Rambam on?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can just read it. Meaning if there's a markama. Markama wins the guard to the Godros, right. Yeah.
Okay,
by the way, I should just clarify. That's in the case of markama. So if I was known as the owner and the cat's now in your possession, they don't say, okay, but I bought it from you.
Right.
No, the cat moved into your, yeah, good. And why?
Right.
So in other words, there's no evidentiary weight to the fact that you're currently possessing it. All right, so therefore, this kind of feast doesn't make you a Musa.
That can be. So
you can have it in Talflin, and I think it's clear this is the model. And what the Ritva is claiming is maybe that's the answer for why Karkos, Tfis al Alto, doesn't work either. Because it isn't a raya to your being an owner. Now, here I want to just focus what exactly this means, though, when you say that the Tfis is a raya, that he's the owner. So. Not so much time. All right, I'll just quickly start it, I guess. What does this mean that the tefis is raya? It's not a raya. So here, I think the natural thing to have thought, which I think many do think, is what sort of in line with what we've been describing, is that the idea is that essentially chazaka mashita achaz yadam shalom. That there's a general presumption based on, if you want to maybe say something like a ruba d'lesa kaman. Right? Just generally speaking, this is what we find, is that people who have things are the owners of those things. Right, so that in terms of, you know, if we're trying to find who does this belong to, well, has Beis Din know? Well, one way Beis Din can know is they see who's possessing it. He's likely to be the owner by virtue of the fact that he's possessing it. We know he's likely to be the owner. Right, your possession is a raya to the fact that you are the owner. This idea that a person, that we have this kind of presumption that something who's somebody who's possessing.
Elon Winsheimer, please go to college guidance.
That something which is in your possession, minastam, unless we know otherwise, is likely to be yours. You find in some Rishonim, this is what I give you guys some chorus about, what Rishonim called is a chazaka, mashe tachas yadam, or mashe biyad adam shalom. And it's not in the Gemara, but you do find it in the Rishonim explaining the Rambam. The Rambam says that if you have a case where a balcho was coming to be gove, and the love says that this beautiful goblet, or I don't know what people had, like this menorah, that's not mine. You can't be go by that because it doesn't belong to me. So the Rambam says in that case that you have to bring a raya that's true, that it doesn't belong to you. But if you don't bring a raya, we assume it is yours and it can be collected. So this is the Rambam. The Rambam just says it's on his own. What's the basis for it? It's the Ramban. Famously, this is a case where the Magen Mishnah, you know, it found its way into the halachic literature. It was passed by the Shulchan Aruch, for instance, via the Magen Mishnah, quoting the Ramban. But we have the Ramban and the Rashba, so we don't need to look just at the Magen Mishnah. The Ramban says, V'shem v'nasar v'nomar, that maybe the Ramban has a mind here, she'ein adam nema b'mesh b'yad lomar shehu shel acherim, me'ach shetavu b'chavu, so chazaka koma shebiyad adam shalohu. Chazaka here means something like, there's a general, it's chazaka in the, we're going to get to this at some point in the parak, but there's a chazaka, what's called like a chazaka kind of b'teva ha'adam, or just there's a general rove, right? It's a kind of a ruba d'lesa kaman, right? Rove, chazaka in adam parei tazmano is an example, classic example, right? Most people, chazaka in adam parei tazmano means it's based on, it's rooted in the fact that that's not normal human behavior. We don't normally find that people have time, have a loan, and they just pay back before they need to. Right? So chazaka mashitachas yadam shalom is to be understood as something like, this is most things a person claims that are his, that are in his possession, are his. Most things that are in a person's possession are his. Right? That doesn't mean, again, that it's a definitive proof. You could prove otherwise. But the presumption based on the likelihood, we have some evidence. The evidence at bar tells us, until we know otherwise, that this is yours. Right? And therefore, so the Rambam says it, according to the Ramban, and again, the Rashba has this too, he develops it very nicely. If you want to claim that something isn't yours, you've got to bring a raya. Why would somebody claim that something isn't his? Because he doesn't want it to be collected. Right? By a bafo. So that's the notion of chazaka komash mashatach seyadam shalom. Right, this is what the Rashba has in mind here. But mama chubiyara ach hazev v'toin she'ena shalom el shalachim love l'havi raya. This is just the stam thing that's in your possession is yours. We don't say, oh, it's in your possession and we don't know anything about it. The fact that it's in your possession means it's likely yours. Again, you've got to prove otherwise, and you can do that. But we have evidence now favoring the idea that it's yours. There are Rishonim who say this, and maybe that's the notion of what Rishonim, when they talk about Tfisa and Busakos, that's what they're referring to, is the fact that it's in your possession is a raya that it's yours. And what the Ritva is saying is, we don't have that. We can't assume that with regard to karka. People walk on other people's karkas all the time, and it's not something that you can really ensure that doesn't happen either, right? And if you're the owner of Mentalta, and I can secure it. What do you have something for unless you're going to have it, right? So an owner has his things, but karka, it's not the case that if it's mine, so then nobody else will be on it necessarily.
What about a house or something?
Meaning it's, you know, would this be as convincing if it were about a house which presumably has locks and stuff like that? Maybe it's a good point. I think the Ritvas would argue that, you know, just generally speaking, we define it by the, you know, just karka, what the essential features of karka are, which is just that it's space on the ground. And what you know, it could be that you make it like a fortress, but the bottom line is that in terms of, so it actually gets to what I'm about to say, which is just in terms of what Tfisa and Raya have to do with Muxagas, I think it can't be right, even though I know it's commonly said. It's a likelihood based on a rove sort of thing that there's some evidence, the fact that you're the owner. I think it can't be that this is what is the basis for Tfisa providing Musakas. And why do I say that? It sounds pretty definitive. First of all, I'll just point out that the Ramah thinks that not everybody agrees to the notion of Chazaka Mashatachazel Mishalo, at least in the context of that din of protecting of a person who says that this thing is mine. We don't just assume that the thing which just happens to be in your possession is yours necessarily, at least if you claim it is yours. But aside, I think that's impossible to square with all the evidence regarding Musakas. And here in particular, I have in mind the Mishnah Gemara and Bava Metzia. You guys saw it? Everybody see it? This to me is a crucial Mishnah and Gemara. All right, so I'll quickly mention now, and then I'll give you guys more time anyway. But basically, the Mishnah is a case talks about a case of Machapara B'chamar V'yalda, right, where I am trading. We're doing chalipin. I'm trading, and here it's not just that this is this is the method of effectuating the kinyan. You take possession of this thing which I'm trading to you, and by virtue of that, this is what chalipin is. Right, by virtue of that, you take possession of the item, and this is chalipin shav v'shav. You take the possession of the item which I'm trading you. Right, so machle par b'chamor. I'm giving you the chamor. You're going to take possession of the chamor, and inasmuch as we're trading for my cow, we're going to do kinyan chalipin via you're taking possession of the chamor. You become the owner of the cow. So the Mishnah says, machle par b'chamor v'yalda. And then all of a sudden, we find that it was pregnant and it has a vlad next to it. Right? Now, the halacha will be, whoever's the owner of it at the time that it gave birth is going to own the vlad. So if the mechira occurs first, and then it gives birth, so the lokeach is the owner. Or the erstwhile owner of the chamor, right, is the owner. The person who now owns the para owns the vlad too. Whereas if the mechira occurs second, right, if the first the animal, the para, gave birth, and then the mechira occurred, right, so then the vlad remains with the bala chamor, the person who traded the para. Everybody follow that? Yeah? Ezra, yeah? Again, it's just, I had a para,
I'm at the beginning. Who gives, I'm getting?
I'm giving you my chamor, and you're going to trade me your para. Okay. Right? The way that we effectuate that is, you take grasp of my chamor. So now, it turns out this para has had a baby. Now, if this occurred, if you took possession of the chamor first and then it had a baby, I own the vlad. Not only I own the para and the vlad, because it's my para who gave birth. If it first gave birth and then you took possession, so you still own the vlad. Right? So that's the case. That's the suffix. And in this case, the Gemara says, one second, this is Daf Kuf. This is the Mishnah of Amitzia. Machav Avraham Rav Yalda. So the Mishnah says Yachloku. Yachloku. All right, we split the baby. So the Gemara says Amayachloku Velech Ze Bishus Man Kaima. Why do we say Yachloku here? We should just see in whose Rishus, whose physical property is it in? I mean, and therefore what? If it's in my physical property, what? Meaning then it would be Motz Mechavel Avarai. We'll have Yidach HaMotz Mechavel Avarai. We'll see whose domain the para is. I mean, where is the para? Why are we saying this at Yochoku? Where's the para? If the para and the vlad are in yours, it'll be yours. And if it's in mine, it'll be mine. And we'll have Yidach HaMotz Mechavel Avarai. So the Gemara says, let's say it's be'aga. So it's in neither of our reshuyos. Oh, well, what you see for the Gemara is the location would make a difference, right? And why is that not obvious? Because if the notion of, if the reason that Fisa, the person who's currently in possession, is presumed the owner until we know otherwise, is because that's a likelihood that that's true, there's some evidence, you know, we're working with whatever evidence we can get, and the evidence that we have at bar, he's possessing it, so he's likely the owner, more likely than the other guy. Does that make sense here? Would that apply here? No. It can't be this notion that chazaka mashtach zeredim shalom, which we may or may not hold up. But that's not why, that's not the basis for saying that the muchzak is going to win unless you bring a raya against him. Because if that were true, it has no relevance to a case where there's what Rishon called draws a mamona, where the fact that it's in possession is not at all evidence of his ownership. But I'll tell you something, which I think it's not just that you have to find this case. Think about the standard case of Motz Mechavel Avaraya in Mamonos. What happens in a case where you have, let's say the Shor case, right? Where you say Shorcha Azik and I say Besela Laka. So we say Motz Mechavel Avaraya. This is the standard case in Mama. When we say in that case that the motzi needs to bring raya, is that because of the fact that you currently possess the money that I'm claiming gives us any sense, any likelihood that you don't owe it? Is there any raya from the fact that you currently possess the money that you don't owe it? In the standard case of motzi mechel raya b'mamon, where I'm claiming dummy, clearly not. I'm claiming that you owe me money because your shor is mazik, and you're saying it wasn't mazik. Does the fact that as of now you have the money that I'm claiming should come to me, is that a reason to think that you're right? That the nitva is right? Right? Is there any raya from the fact that you have the money now, that it was the stone that tripped the shore and not your shore?
So I thought that
tomorrow
was more of the status quo,
right? Right, that's my point. Clearly doesn't presume any kind of evidence that there's evidence that this person is the owner, right? Based on the fact that, oh, because he's holding on to it. So Misama, he's the owner. Now you have to prove against that. No. If that were true, then, first of all, it wouldn't apply in these cases where we find it applying Metalflin. And also, all cases of Cheskas of Mammon are like that. We don't have any idea whatsoever. We have no idea. There's no probability at all. You know, you could say there's no prior probability attributable to the notion that he was killed, that the shore was Huzak Ayideh HaSela versus Ayideh, the other person's shore. We have no idea. We have no assessment of any kind of probability. The point is, that's what Mitzvah Rai is if you want to alter the status quo, so then you need to bring a Rai. That's the notion of Motz Mechavel Avaraya, and applied to Metaltelin, what emerges is, it's not that possession is not evidence, right, that you are the owner. In Mamonos, it never is. And in Metaltelin, even if in some cases it is, it's not in all cases, where we have the principle of Motz Mechavel Avaraya, but let's say Bishusa, Biman, it's not a Raya if it's the paras in your shows. The point is, though, that it's the status quo. You are now in possession of it, so if you want to prove it, so if we want to know who has to prove one or the other, or I should say, so if you want to remove it from the status quo, you've got to prove it. We don't say Achloku. We go with the status quo. Ah, but if that's true, and I think it is, I should note, it's possible that Tsumkus is cholik on this. It's possible that maybe Tsumkus actually disagrees precisely on this point. He thinks that where he disagrees with the Matzah Kevara is where there's a Drar de Mamona, and it's just in general, right, that where there's an objective suffix, even without Taino Sehem, which is essentially the case is here, right, where possession doesn't provide any kind of evidence, because objectively we would just be Mstupak anyway. So maybe Tsumkus actually thinks, no, that's how it works, and therefore these cases aren't Matzah Kevara. But we don't postulate Tsumkus, right, or at least it's not the standard presumption. So if that's true, so what does the Ritva here mean? What does the Rama mean when you talk about Tfisa as a Raya? Why should Tfisa being a Raya, what does that have to do with being Muchsak? Tfisa is not a Raya in the case of Machal Kar V'chamer. Right? So I'm not really blaming the Ritva for this, because, again, the Ritva was, I think, using a model which clearly does exist. Godrus is a great example. But I'm asking just, what does it mean? Why is Godrus in the Chazakas Tfisa as an Inan Raya, but Tfisa is not supposed to be evidence that it's his, because it's just a matter of being, so what is it? Right? Should we leave off here? Or pick up?
Sometimes a Raya.
But it's not always, and the point is, if that's the basis for the principle, it has to be that everywhere the principle applies, it's right? That there's an evidence, there's some kind of evidence from the fact that you're currently in possession that it really is yours. If that's the reason why we paskin, okay, so the other guy's got to prove it, then it has to be that in all cases that's true, but it's not. In the case of, first of all, in Mammon, it's never true. I claim that there was something that was Mechayev you, and you claim there wasn't. Bezin has no clue. We have no, how would Bezin know that it's more likely that the rock tripped it than the other guy? Just the fact, I mean, obviously, even if it is true that it's more likely, that wouldn't be related to the fact that we had to extract the money from you, right? But what does it mean then that Godrus in the Chazaka? If Tfisa is an Inan Raya, what does the river here mean? So should we continue or when you guys? What time do you guys go? Don't you guys leave soon?
Usually
so what, today YU is not in session or something?
No, we
were
just in church.
Wait, what?
We're in the zone.
Oh, okay. So you guys want? Should I continue or what?
Let's pause here.
All right. Yeah.
I hope we'll make it.